Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Suppose you're wondering what I'm doing here. There's a foot thing I got to step on that seems to be walking away from me. But good morning!
Good morning.
Would you stand and let's worship together? This morning. Oh, do I do another one before you come up here? Tell them hi.
All right. Good to see all of you here today. How are you? You're very festive. Gloria in Excelsis Deo. Anybody know what that means? Glory to God in the highest is correct. That's what we're here to do. The greatest gift of all is not under the tree, but it was in a manger. Over 2,000 years ago, and we're celebrating that today. We're excited that you're here and you chose to be here on Jesus's birthday, at least when we celebrate it. But we're happy that you're here today. Feliz Navidad.
Prospero año.
Merry Christmas. Let's see. Fluken vla flinken. Okay, that's some kind of German. But hey. Joya Noel. Okay, so however you say it, today is the celebration of Christ's birth. Turn around to everybody and tell them that you're happy to see them here today and wish them Merry Christmas.
heaven adored.
Christ, my highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Made in time, behold him come. Offspring of the virgin's womb. Hail in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail incarnate deity. Please descend with men to dwell. Jesus, our Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings.
Dexterity suffers when you have bad things, cold fingers.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the
for this day, for your love, for your grace, for the reminder that we get each and every year that you came so that we would have life and life in its fullness. God, help us to never deceive ourselves into believing that we deserve a second of that Christmas morning. But because of your love, because of who you are and seeing us where we were, you came and did what was necessary so that we would have fellowship with you. God, we are, if nothing else, unfaithful. But you are faithful and good. Lord, help us to rejoice and to live into that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
and broken, come with fears unspoken, come taste of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run, see what your God.
Merry Christmas. It's good to see you guys today. Come on in, have a seat. We are once again celebrating. Some of you, we saw you not too long ago. If you were with us last night, we braved record temperatures here in Central Florida, and we did Christmas Eve out underneath the stars. It was fun. If you were with us, it's good to see you again. If you weren't with us, we missed you. Hopefully, you've had a good morning. I have for you something to show you. It's not a decoration, but, you know, coolest things show up at Christmas time. I know you can't see these from where you're sitting, but what these are three cats. And that would make this a catapult. Now, some gifts are just better at Christmas. Hunter? Get ready. Ready? Good catch. Nice, nice, nice. Richard? You're up. Pressure's on now. Did you ever do this at Chuliota? Okay, just one. Here you go. Ready? Oh, so close. Max, your shot. Good job. All right. Nothing says Christmas like flinging cats. And hopefully you have had a great and glorious morning. I saw some of you kids coming in, and yes, I know you've asked the question. It's true. It's true. After the wise men came and delivered gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus, Mary and Joseph dressed him up and made him go to church. I mean, so what a way to kind of mess up Christmas morning. Or, on the other hand, it is a great way to celebrate Christmas, and we're glad that you're here today. We're going to spend just a couple of minutes. We're going to go once again to the Christmas story. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 2 is where we're going to be. And I want to pick up for you in verse 6. Again, you're familiar with it. It says, while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for Mary to have the baby, and she gave birth to her first son, because there was no room for them left in the inn. She wrapped the baby in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. That night, some shepherds went in fields nearby watching their sheep, and an angel of the Lord stood before them. The glory of the Lord was shining around them, and they became very frightened. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I'm bringing you good news. It will be great joy to all the people. Today, your Savior was born in the town of David. He is Christ the Lord. And this is how you'll know him. You'll find a baby wrapped in pieces of cloth, lying in a manger." And then a very large group of angels from heaven joined the first angel, praising God and saying, "Give glory to God in heaven. And on earth, let there be peace among the people who please God." Today, I want to tell you a Christmas story. It is a Christmas story about a writer who is known not necessarily for writing hymns or Christmas songs, although you know his name. I'm talking about Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. His most popular poem, for all of you literature fanatics in the room, is The Midnight Ride of Paul Revere. Some of you will remember that from school. You read it probably at least once, maybe, in your lifetime. Now, Longfellow experienced great success as a writer through the years. He also knew about sorrow firsthand, and a lot of people don't know about his life, but his first wife, Mary, died 4 years after they were married. A few years later, he married a woman named Frances, and together they began a family. And one evening, while Frances was trimming her daughter's hair, she decided to save the clippings of the curls in an envelope for a keepsake. When she was melting the sealing wax to secure the envelope, a few drops fell unnoticed on her dress. The hot wax ignited, and soon her entire dress was in flame. Henry frantically tried to smother the fire with a throw rug, and when that didn't work, he tried using his hands. He was not able to save his wife. Frances Longfellow died the next morning. She was only 44. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was, of course, devastated. Just a few years later, during the height of the war that gripped our nation, Longfellow's oldest son, Charles, joined the army without his father's blessing and rose to the rank of lieutenant. During the Battle of New Hope Church, Virginia, Charles was severely wounded. A bullet hit him in the left side of his shoulder and cut across his body and exited on the right side of his body, passing all the way through him. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow was called to come to the hospital in Washington, D.C., and told to take Charles home so that he might recover. The fact that the nation was split and was at war was already heavy on Longfellow's spirit. He wanted our nation to be at peace. And like most creative writers, he struggled with depression throughout most of his life. And he'd never recovered from the loss of Frances. He didn't really rebound after his first marriage had failed. And now his son, wounded in battle, hit by the fire of a fellow American, facing a long recovery, found 1863 as a Christmas celebration that Longfellow just wasn't looking forward to. That day, he sat at his desk, and he began to write. And at that moment, the bells of the local church began to ring. And so, since it was Christmas Day, he began to think about what the bells meant, the significance of those bells. And hearing the chime actually began a process of him thinking about what Christmas was about, the message of Christmas. And so you know the song. The song begins with this line, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day. Their old familiar carols play. And wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." That last line you recognize because we just read it. It comes directly out of the proclamation that the angels made to the shepherds on that very first Christmas night, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill toward men. And so this morning, for just a couple minutes, and we are not going to be here long, I want to kind of follow his line of thinking as he charted out his thoughts on paper that became what is a Christmas song that, you know, we don't hear as much as some of the other Christmas songs, yet It is loaded with meaning, and when you understand the story behind who he was, comes to mean much, much more. And so I want to remind you of some lessons that he had to learn that Christmas so many years ago. They're the same lessons that we need to be reminded of on this Christmas morning. The first thing I want you to think about is the stirring of hope that you hear in his song. Let's go back to the scripture passage first, though. In verse 9, it says, "An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For unto you, this day, in the city of David, is a Savior. He has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord.'" It is a moment where, for each one of us, if we go back to that very first Christmas in Bethlehem, it is in our lives where at that place a dream begins to be rekindled. Now, I know you weren't there. You weren't there physically. But that event ignites within each one of us the potential and the hope and the possibility of what might be. Last night, as we were sitting outside shivering in the dark, we talked about the fact that the impossible with the Christmas event suddenly becomes possible. And everything that we know and everything that we've been and everything that can hold us back all of a sudden becomes unraveled. And anything can happen. See, most of you, like me, want our lives to be kind of like a Norman Rockwell painting. We want to take the best of our memories, the most unforgettable scenes of this time of year. We want to capture them forever. We want to take scenes from our favorite holiday films. We always like the endings. We like those images. But sometimes we don't remember the journey that it takes to get to those images. And so, once again, the Christmas message reminds us that we live in a day and age where, you know, yeah, it would be great if there were peace on earth. But peace is not and has never been the absence of conflict. Peace is the security of knowing that God is in charge and you are right with God. That's what Christmas reminds us of. See, there's very little that you can do to solve all the crises that you hear on the news broadcast each night. There's very little that you can do about something that may be going on across the globe that you have nothing to do with, much less even understand. But you can be responsible for being an agent of peace and change in the place that you find yourself. The hope that begins in that moment, the stirring of hope that comes, reminds us that life can be different and life can be better. And that's what the angels were saying. They weren't promising a world where there'd never be conflict. They didn't come to promise you'd never have an argument. They didn't come to promise that it would always be easy. But they did promise that Jesus was now here and he would be with us. And all of a sudden, we have something that we can hope in. See, if you came with anything this Christmas morning, I hope that you're reminded this day of the hope that you have that comes from Jesus. Once in Longfellow's journal, he wrote these words, "I have only one desire, and that is for harmony, a frank and honest understanding between the North and the South." See, his life was consumed with this conflict that was always raging. And yet he recognized, even on Christmas morning, that the hope for peace, the hope for future, the hope for what might happen next, only lies in one place, and that's Jesus. If you're intellectual, you'll try to explain it away. If you are just bent on living your life your own way, you don't like what he has to say. I got that. And people have been trying to rewrite and refabric the words of Jesus and what the Scripture says for a long, long time. And you know what? They'll continue to do it, and they're going to continue to do it till the day that they die. And then someone better is going to come along and try it again if he tarries. But I promise you this. When you build your life on truth and you understand it, you can't get away from it. And that truth is what gives you hope. I don't panic, and I don't get confused by the things that we hear so often in news and the events of the day. Because you have to recognize when it comes from a place that doesn't know Jesus, it comes from a place that doesn't know hope. It has no chance of knowing hope. And if there's no hope, there's no peace. And so unhopeful unpeaceful people will live their lives in whatever way they see fit, and they will always flock to and go with the latest things, the latest thoughts, the latest trends, whatever is popular, and because you can always find someone who will agree with you, will build themselves an army of around them that will give them security. However, you and I can know the truth, and the truth of the matter is that if you're trying to build your life on anything except the truth of Scripture and the reality of the Christmas event, you're always going to end up in trouble. Hope begins on Christmas. If you take that away, you've lost hope. No hope, no future. As we've repeated over and over and over again, the way that we celebrate His first coming is how we are preparing to celebrate His second coming. We live in a world of people who are not preparing to celebrate His second coming. And we have to be mindful of that as we move to Christmas. The stirring of hope within us. The second thing I want you to see is I also want you to see the gut check of reality. The gut check of reality. Go back to the passage, verse 12. It says, "This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace.'" This is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. That's how it's marketed. Every song, every card tends to tell you that. That's marketing. But there are also times in the Christmas season where we do have to come face to face with the reality of the world that we live in. And sometimes it is a gut-checking, body-checking blow that will rock us if we're not careful. Just because Christmas morning dawned this morning doesn't mean that everything's right. All the problems that you had yesterday, you carried over to today. You may ignore them today, but you still got them tomorrow. All of those issues that you struggled with yesterday, you're probably still going to struggle with today and tomorrow. All those things that you wanted to move beyond. Christmas is a reminder of new beginnings, and Christmas brings hope. But the gut check reality that we all have to deal with is we have to do something with that. Again, Longfellow wrote in the song, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." There comes a time that you wonder, all of us have from time to time, you know, is it real? Why does there have to be heartbreak? Where's the hope? Where's the joy? It doesn't seem to be there. It's the real world. And we live in a broken world. And because we live in a broken world, people are broken. Whether you realize or not, you're broken. Some of you are more broken than others. Probably the person sitting next to you. They just don't know it. But as broken as we are, if you are wise, you find the place to go to be reassembled. You find the workshop to go to that can put it back together. You find that place that you can go where you can find the healing and the hope of the future, and that is in Jesus. You can act like there's nothing wrong. And when you act like there's nothing wrong, you're just acting ridiculous. All of us know there's something wrong. All of us know that there's something not quite right. Most people I know are at least a half a bubble off. Some a significant bubble off. But yet, in the midst of it all, if you know Jesus, you're in the game. As we've said before, when a dog's playing checkers, you don't criticize the game, you're just glad they're playing checkers. You and I get the opportunity to be a part of God's big plan. We get to be in the game. And here's what I know about the game. You can't win the game if you're not in the game. And you don't win the game from the sidelines. The call of Christ is a call off the bench, onto the field, and into the game. And when you are in the game, anything and everything can happen. I can promise you this, that there were a lot of moments for Mary and Joseph on that very first Christmas when the gut check reality moment hit them. And some of you saw it on Wednesday evening when we were together and watched it portrayed in the Chosen Christmas stories that were kind of edited together for us to watch. There's a moment where it's like, okay, this is not the way I want it to be. Mary probably wanted someone to help. Joseph did not know what he was doing. He was a carpenter. He would have preferred Advent Health. Would have been nicer. Waiting for a stork to circle by and drop this package. Whatever it was, it didn't work that way. Have a baby. What are you going to do with a baby? Lay him on the ground? No, put him in a feeding trough. The ground's dirty. Feeding trough, much cleaner. So much about that moment, so much about that day was just wrong. But yet in the midst of all of that stuff that was so wrong, it was so right. I know folks who are struggling and tragically kind of butting their heads up against life and trying to figure it out, and there's so much that's so wrong. But yet in the midst of what's wrong, if you look carefully, you'll see what's right. The reality of this world is tough, no doubt about it. Can't take that away. But the best version of yourself is waiting for you to discover when you're willing to follow Jesus. And the third thing I want you to see, it also is that the dream is still alive. Glory to God in the highest, it says. And on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rest. The line of the song says this, then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead. He does not sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. For Longfellow that day, the writing of the song was his come to Jesus meeting. It was that moment that he went and he wallowed in that self-pity. He wallowed in the hurt, and we all go there from time to time. But in the midst of the wallowing, he found out that Jesus was there, and at his come to Jesus meeting, he realized that the world around him was going to stay in turmoil, but the choice that he had to make, would he be in turmoil? I got a gnawing feeling there's a lot of folks on this Christmas day that need to go ahead and open their gifts, have the parties, have the food, have all of those kumbaya moments, and then they need to have a come to Jesus meeting. And in that come to Jesus meeting, they need to come face to face with who they are and who they were created to be and decide if they're going to buck it up and get where they need to be in their journey of faith or whether they're going to continue to whine and gripe and move through the rest of the year. Because you and I have to deal with the fact that Christmas, when you really believe it, should change you, and it should change you from the inside out. And as you begin to change and you begin to become different, you begin to find that your excuses melt away. The reasons that you can't get left behind. You're not going to have all the answers you want, but you will have the answers you need. You won't have every step that you're going to take right now, but you'll have the next step that you need to take when you follow. And you will find that all of a sudden you can chase dreams in a way that you never, ever were able to chase them before, simply because you don't have to be God anymore. One of the greatest days of your life is when you realize that you don't have to keep being God. That's why he came. He came so you didn't have to do the heavy lifting. He came so that you didn't have to do the work. He came so that you didn't have to do what only he could do. The world that we live in is broken because people are desperately trying to do what only God can do. And as long as we live in a world that where people think, actually believe, honestly believe that they can rewrite and change the rules of God, they'll always struggle. But balance only comes in our life. We recognize that he and he alone is the source of hope, help, and the strength that we need to face each moment. And when that happens, we discover, as it says in Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In 1863, when Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote those words, he finished writing the song, and while we have the song, he was changed. I said last night, and I will repeat it again, this is not just another Christmas for you. And a lot of times we face Christmas that way. It's just another Christmas. We got to do Christmas again. This is not just another Christmas. The Christmas celebration that began in Bethlehem has never ended. This is not another Christmas. This is a continuation of a celebration that began thousands of years ago and will continue into the day that he returns again, because all of time and space hinges and turns on his arrival. And everything is different because he's in the world. And so that's how we get to live our lives. That's how we choose to live our lives. That's a choice that you and I have to make on this Christmas day. Christmas changes everything. Christmas is a game changer. And because Christmas has come, we can be different. Let's pray together. God, our world sometimes can be overwhelming. The turmoil all around us, the insecurities that we battle, the news and the news cycles that get overwhelming, the latest trends, the pulse, it all becomes overwhelming if we're not careful. And it's very easy just to decide that it doesn't matter. It can be very easy just to take our hands off the wheel and decide whatever happens is just going to happen. Or we can decide to meet you face to face and allow you to rekindle hope and dreams in each of our lives. Now, for many of us, that means the gut check we have to take is we don't get the opportunity to do it our way. We don't get to create the rules. We don't get to create the boundaries. Instead, we have to trust that you know what's best. And why wouldn't we? Because you entered time and space, and when you entered time and space, you became human so that you would become that sacrifice to pay the price for our sins so that we might have eternal life. By coming out of the grave, you forever defeated death, and you took away the sting of the one thing that we fear the most, which gives us the freedom to live life when we choose to follow you. There's some here on this day, this morning, that need to remember the gift of life that you have offered and accept that gift. If they're here and they've never done that before, I pray that before they would leave this day, they would just simply grab one of us and simply say, I want to make that choice. I want to make that decision to follow Jesus. So watching online, they can send us an email right now and say, that's a choice I want to make. And that would give us the honor, God, of stepping alongside of them and helping them on that journey, the journey to become something with you that they can't be without you. But Lord, there's some in this room who we've met you. We've come face to face with you. This is not our first Christmas and our first rodeo. But Jesus, we need to be reminded again of just how amazing that gift of love that you gave us really is. And so this day, on this Christmas, our prayer and our hope is that we would not only remember, but to allow your love to change us and shape us from the inside out. We pray In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand?
Someone said one time, and I think it's true, that Christmas reminds us, because for just a day we act like we always thought we could be. We seem to shine a little bit brighter. We act a little bit kinder. And we ought to do that all year long. It is so good to see you guys today. Thanks for being here and spending these few moments with us. I can't think of anything better to do on the day that we celebrate the birth of the Savior is to celebrate the birth of the Savior. What a novel idea that is, right? Take the lessons of this year, the lessons of this Christmas season, and allow them to catapult you. You wondered how I was coming back to that. I know you did. I think, man, he went a long way around to get back to that. I did, yeah. Catapult you into this brand new year. Make sure the people in your life that you love know that you love them. And touch and change the world with the love of Christ. Would you bow your heads and hearts? We'll pray, and then you will be dismissed to go about your Christmas stuff. And you've got to get out of here. We've got to go home. There's parties and lunches and all sorts of stuff to go to. Let's pray. Jesus, we are thankful that you've given us a chance to be here in this place with each other. We have gathered once again around the manger to continue the celebration that started so many years ago. And it's just as real, and it's just as powerful, and just as life-changing today as it was then. And so for us, help us to leave this place changed, and maybe just a little bit better, simply because we've been reminded again how real and powerful your love is. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.